Today's episode is being sponsored by Kingsley 1945 Watches. To check out the Kingsley 1945 collection, go to www.amitdevhonda.com and click on the Kingsley 1945 collection on the upper right-hand corner. Okay, on with the show. On today's episode, I talk about the watches that I think were really hot at SIHH 2018. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. What's going on there, watch fans? This is Amit Dev Honda, and welcome to my podcast. So, on today's episode, I want to talk about SIHH 2018. For those of you who don't know, SIHH is the first watch fair of the year. It takes place in Geneva, Switzerland. When I was in watch retail, I was the head watch buyer for the company I worked for, and I got the luxury of going every year. And last year was the first year they opened it up to the public. It's incredibly sophisticated. It's much smaller than its, you know, counterpart watch fair that takes place in March, Baselworld. Baselworld is monstrous. This is much more intimate. It's the Richemont Group brands, which is Alain Ganzone, IWC, Panerai, Montblanc, Cartier, Vacheron Constantin, Jaeger LeCoultre, Roger Dubuis. You know, and there are countless others, as well as Audemars Piguet, which is not owned by the Richemont Group, Peter Speak Marin, and there's a couple of other brands. But this year, there seems to be some excitement around SIHH 2018. Some great stuff from Cartier. We've got a new Santos in two sizes with interchangeable straps and bracelets. Santos is always one of Cartier's most iconic pieces. And it's great to see this watch can be worn by a man, can be worn by a woman. Timeless Cartier Roman numerals. Just a really, really solid piece of construction. Very easy to change out the bracelet to a strap and vice versa. You also had the Panthère that came back last year. We're seeing double and triple wraparound bracelets for those. Those will be available in May for the ladies' watches. So that's kind of cool for the yellow gold, white gold, and pink gold versions. Those are available for sure. So look out for those. There are a couple other things as well. There's a new drive for Cartier, extra flat, which is really handsome, really well made, really sits well on the wrist, really just a really nice sort of, it's not round. It's kind of, you know, got this unique tonneau shaped case, very racing enthusiast, but very classic, very high-end looking, you know, very warm, very rich as well. So you've got some new versions for that. IWC came out with their Jubilee collection. I gotta be honest, it's not my favorite collection that they've done. I mean, the Jubilee collection was a collection that they introduced at SIHH 2018 to commemorate their 150-year anniversary. And for the most part, I mean, I think, you know, it was okay. It wasn't great. You know, maybe my expectations are high, but I'm always looking for something that's really innovative and different, or something that's just really historic. And they kind of hit on that with the out of the Jubilee collection. Then those were separated into collections. So the first collection is my favorite collection out of the entire 2018 SIHH collection for IWC. It's called the Pal Weber Peck Collection. In 1884, IWC manufactured the first so-called Pal Weber pocket watches. These innovative timepieces showed the hours and minutes in a digital format with large numerals on rotating discs. In this anniversary year, IWC honors that achievement, tribute to Pal Weber, 150 years. The first model is limited to 25 pieces and has a platinum case, a white dial with lacquered finish, and blue display discs. as a reference to the design of the historical Pal Weber watches, attributed to F.A. Jones, the American watchmaker who founded IWC, the windows of the digital displays are labeled as hours and minutes. The IWC-manufactured 94-200 caliber advances the display disc by using a separate wheel train with a barrel of its own. The fact that the flow in the main wheel train is influenced guarantees a precise rate of 60-hour power reserves. This retails for $57,800. You know, it's all right. It's not, honestly, my favorite one. My favorite one is the one that I'm going to talk about next. It's limited to 250 pieces. It's made out of red gold. It has a white dial with a lacquered finish and white disc displays. They're, you know, it's very limited to 250. Obviously the platinum one, is 25 watches. And then the last one is the stainless steel version. I just like the innovation. I like the way it displays time. It's not your normal way of displaying time. It has windows for the hours and the minutes instead of hands. And then you have a sub-seconds hand at the 6 o'clock position, and it's combining modernity, history, and classic at all at the same time. Very cool for IWC stainless steel. Limited to 500 pieces, has a stainless steel case, a blue dial with lacquered finish, and white discs displays. That's limited, like I said, to 500 pieces. Everything else is the same. The rose gold, the red gold is really the most fantastic one, in my opinion. Not that the platinum isn't. But you know, so we're talking $57,800 for the platinum, $36,600 for the red gold, and $25,100 for the steel. When you think about the complication and how it's displayed, they're not horrible, but $25,000 is a lot of money for a steel watch that only shows hours and minutes. They are actually pretty expensive, but then again, they are limited. And they're limited to small numbers, especially the platinum. The platinum is almost 60 grand, so it's a nice watch, but honestly, it's not affordable, it's not attainable, it's limited, and it's innovative and different, and that's, in my opinion, the only thing going for it. The Portuguese collection was a bit of a disappointment. That's the second collection within the, you know, Jubilee collection for IWC. You know, you have the Portuguese Constant Force Tourbillon, 150 years. I mean, again, I really appreciate hot horology, which is high-end watchmaking, but it's something to appreciate from afar. You know, even if I had the money to buy an expensive tourbillon, I wouldn't. To me, it's kind of a waste of money. They're, you know, tourbillons are really redundant in wristwatches, and the fact that they're still making them and getting so much money for them. The first model has a platinum case. It's limited to 15 watches. It's the first time the new IWC manufactured handwound 94805 caliber with a power reserve of 96 hours. It has a constant force tourbillon with a single moon display. The moon display needs to be adjusted by only one day every 577.5 years. So it's very accurate. It's a cool watch. The second one is also a platinum case. And it has a white dial, a lacquered finish, blue hands, limited to 15 pieces. You know, again, it's sort of the inverse of the first one. The last two, you know, the third one is Perpetual Calendar Tourbillon Edition, 150 years, 18 karat in red gold. Out of those three, the red gold to me is the nicest. The platinum ones kind of look washed out. The red gold one is really nice. The platinum ones are limited to 15 pieces. The red gold one is 50 pieces. The fourth one within the Jubilee collection is the Perpetual Calendar 150 years. Out of all these complicated Portuguesers, this one is the most useful complication, a perpetual calendar, because you rely on the day, you rely on the date, you rely on the month, you rely on the year. Some people rely on the moon phase for things, you know, and perpetual calendars are, I think, the most useful out of all complications. And I've said that for probably the last 20 years. This one is limited to 250 pieces, which is not a lot. It's still, I mean, it's not a lot in terms of a limited edition. The fifth is no stranger to IWC, but slightly different. It's the Portuguese Chronograph edition 150 years, but for the first time it's equipped with a manufactured movement. The blue dial, a Portuguese chronograph that you see with either, I think, rhodium numbers in hands or steel numbers in hands and steel. These chronographs, the classic Portuguese chronograph that, I mean, we all know and love, that one for the first time is equipped with a manufactured movement. So, you know, that's a nice touch for them. 2,000 watches for both. You know, one with a blue dial, one with a silver dial with blue hands and blue numbers. Those are both limited to 2,000 watches. The final two watches, which is something that goes back to my DNA with IWC when I first started selling them, is the Portuguese hand-wound 8-day 150 years edition. The first in red gold is limited to 250 pieces and housed in a red gold case, which is really nice, beautiful, really just gorgeous. And the movement is super robust. And, you know, the other one is the steel version of the same watch. And that's limited as well, super limited. The second one is stainless steel and it's limited to 1,000 pieces. Otherwise, everything else is the same. And the movement on that is the hand-wound caliber 59-215 with a power reserve of 8 days. And the steel one, of course, is the most affordable. It's the nicest one, in my opinion. It has silver dial, blue hands, blue numbers, and a sub-seconds at the 6 o'clock position. And it's $9,900, which is still expensive for a steel watch, but it does have an 8-day in-house movement and it is limited to 1,000 pieces for the world. Their third collection in the Jubilee collection is the Portofino. I'm going to kind of skip over that because I'm not really a fan of the Portofino. It's a nice dress line for them, but to me, I've always been like kind of whatever about them. There's about 7 models. You can read more about it on my website. The fourth collection is the Da Vinci, another collection I'm just not a fan of. These ones are primarily ladies' watches, some cases that are fully dressed with diamonds, and two that are not. Actually, three that are not, two that are. You can read about those. The Pilot's collection is the fifth and final collection for the IWC Jubilee collection. 3 big pilot watches in steel, one with a blue dial, an annual calendar and 7-day power reserve complication limited to 1,000 pieces, and 2 big pilot versions, one with blue dial and one with white dial, both limited to 100 pieces. The last piece within the IWC Jubilee collection is the Pilot's chronograph with a white dial and is limited to 1,000 pieces. In general, I don't think that, like I said in the very beginning, the Jubilee collection is that strong. The only collection I'm really excited about is the new Pal Weber collection, the first collection that I mentioned. The Portuguese hand wounds were awesome. And, you know, actually the big pilots with the analog display for the date are kind of cool. I have to say, I didn't like them when I first saw them, but they are cool for sure. All of these are limited, and I'm sure I will have access to them, so you can definitely contact me if you're interested. I was expecting more from IWC. A lot of people loved what IWC did. I just thought it was kind of blah, but, you know, whatever. One thing I wanted that I forgot to mention when I mentioned Cartier was that the new Cartier Santos has a manufactured in-house movement for both sizes, and it's the same movement. So that's new that's one of the cool things about the return of the Cartier Santos, is they both have in-house movements, and they're automatic in-house movements. I really like what Mont Blanc did. Now, a lot of people, Mont Blanc, of course, is another brand owned by the Richemont Group, but they are, you know, they came out with the Ultimate Chronograph. This is probably, I mean, they came out with a bunch of stuff. It's been hard for them to separate themselves as just, you know, they're known for making pens and they are the benchmark. They're kind of like when you arrive and you want to buy a nice pen, you buy a Mont Blanc. You immediately, it's the defer to, go-to pen, much like Rolex is. When you think about you've arrived or achieved something, you go and buy a Rolex as your first watch or whatever. So the very fact is they came out with with these amazing chronographs. I'm not a chronograph fan. Two different chronographs that are 1858 chronographs. The 1858 collection, I've been a fan of that since the beginning when it first came about a couple of years back. And, you know, I wrote about 3 years ago. These new chronographs are 42 millimeters, one inch stainless steel with black dial and white Arabic numerals. And it's also available in a 42 millimeter bronze case with a smoked champagne dial with Arabic numerals. The chronograph pushers are vintage pump style, which gives the watch a really historic feel. For a lot of gearheads who think 36 to 38 is cool and can't wear a bigger watch, you will change your mind, even though this is 42 millimeters. These sit really well on the wrist, even though I haven't seen them live. I know how the 1858 collection feels. And what I love most about this collection is they don't have dates. And there's not a lot of writing on the dial. It's the numbers, it's the chronograph subdials, it's the dial itself, and it says Mont Blanc under the 12. Other than that, there's no other writing. The hands are cathedral style hands. They're not my favorite the style of hands, but they definitely bring out the watch. They definitely make the watch look really, really vintage and historic. By the execution of these watches, you would think that Mont Blanc has been making only watches and not pens. So the steel version is very cool, everyday, utilitarian in steel. Both of them come on this really cool strap. I love the strap. The strap is probably one of my favorite parts. It's fitted with the same strap. Are fitted on the same cognac color aged strap. Again, something that just brings out the warmness and richness and character of both these watches. And what makes them even better is that the price. I mean, the best part, the steel one is under 5K and the bronze one is under 6K. It has a Mont Blanc 25.11 caliber with a 48-hour power reserve. You know, the steel one also, not only does it come on that aged cognac strap, but it also comes with an additional James Bond black and gray NATO, you know, gray NATO stripes off of black. So again, I think for the money, I don't think you could get a better bang for the buck if you're looking for a chronograph. The other thing is, you know, it's one of these watches that I think it has a lot of scope to expand and explore. You know, like the 1858 collection is definitely the collection that separates itself from, you know, as I feel like their own style, you know, that it's like their own thing. I think a lot when you look at their classic wristwatches, you can see the inspiration from Jaeger and Lange and Vacheron and various other companies within the Richemont group that they own. But the 1858 collection stands out on his own, and I'm a massive fan, and the chrono really took me by surprise. And I would love to own the bronze or the steel one, probably the bronze, because it just looks like an artifact. It's super, super cool. It was a big year for Panerai in a way. Panerai re-released their logo models, this time with in-house movements. The only thing that sucks is there's still spring bars and snap-on case backs, which is their way of cheapening, in my opinion, it cheapens the image of the brand. You know, because come on, spring bars versus screws, it's like snap-on case backs versus, I mean, at the end of the day, snap-on is fine. I would have preferred them to be screw down case backs, especially when you're paying $6,000 for, or whatever it is, not 6,000, but when you're paying, there are two models basically, two different styles. One, you know, just a regular logo base with the four numbers, black dial, four Arabic numerals, classic Panerai, white dial, all the numerals. So you've got the 773, which is the black dial with four Arabic numerals, 775 with a white dial with all Arabic numerals. Then you have the 774, which is the same as the first one, but it has a blue logo on the dial instead of a white logo. And it's got a different colored strap with blue stitching. But, you know, they're all equipped with the P6000 3-day manual wind movement, which are really cool. There's also a second set of watches that is with the second hand. So, like, let's say a Luminor Marina, with the second hand at the 9 with the logos. So you've got a 776 with a black dial with a white logo, 778 with a white dial with a blue logo with all the numbers, and then the 777, which is the black dial second hand at the 9 with a blue logo. Interesting stuff. It's, you know, again, I mean, for a lot of people may not think it's a lot of money, but, you know, $4,700 for a watch that doesn't even have a date in steel, for some, that's a lot of money. And $5,000 for the one with the second hand. I think they're good because they have in-house movements. I mean, that's, I'll give them props for that. They have in-house movements. They're priced competitively. They're in that Tudor sort of in-house movement price range. But when you look at, if you compare this Panerai, let's say, to a Black Bay on a bracelet, for $3,675 with a 70-hour power reserve in-house movement on a bracelet for $3,675, and then you look at these for $1,000 more with the most basic one without the second hand, you feel like it's a little bit, you know, are you getting the reach around a little bit? But in terms of what Panerai offers in their collection, these are really well priced, you know? So They're going to do regardless of what I say, but these are just my thoughts. I just remember Panerai being a really fun brand to collect. They were affordable, they were attainable, and this is the closest we're going to get to that, people. I mean, I remember when I could buy a Panerai for $2,500, $3,000, even $4,000. It was a stretch, but you could do it. At $4,750 for someone for their first watch, it's a little bit of a stretch, but in terms of buying a Panerai, it is what it is, man. It is what it is. I don't think you can find a better value if you want that Panerai look and you want a big watch and you want it from the maker themselves. This is definitely the way to go. It's going to do well. I'd be very happy to help you get any of these watches. Again, you're going to read the article. You're going to see them live. But these are my initial thoughts on the brand and on what they, you know, delivered on that end, the new Luminor logo collection. Then we're going to jump to the what they released for women, which I was actually, even though it doesn't serve me, it's actually not really a woman's watch even. It's a unisex watch. It's not being referred to as a man's or woman's watch officially by the brand, the PAM 755 and the PAM 903. These are their thinnest case and their most versatile in their portfolio. It's 38 millimeters. It has the 1950 registered trademark inscription on the device protecting the crown. There are two variations, the 755 with a sunburst anthracite gray dial with luminous Arabic numerals and hour markers, a date at the 3 o'clock and small seconds at the 9 o'clock, fitted with a teal green strap. And a 903 with an ivory dial with blue Arabic numerals and luminous dots and steel blued hands, date at the 3 o'clock and small seconds at the 9 o'clock, fitted on a blue leather strap with a Saffiano finish. Both versions have solid case backs and are water resistant to 30 meters. Couple things, not really a fan of, you know, compromising on the water resistance. You know, the whole point of Panerai is that they're military or Italian Navy. Naval watches, implying depth, implying being able to take them in the water. I think they should have at least been 100 meters, but 30 meters is like 100 feet. It's okay, but it's, you know, I don't know. I would have loved to have seen the depth rating boosted up. I don't know why they would compromise on that. I don't think they meant to intentionally. I just think by reducing the case thickness and by reducing the case diameter, you know, from their normal 44 millimeter size to, you know, a 38 millimeter size, something has to get compromised, and that was the water resistance. For most people, they won't really care about that because they're not going to jump in the water with a watch that has a leather strap. But again, if you want to put it on rubber and go swimming or whatever, I wouldn't feel comfortable with only 30 meters water resistance, but that's just me. You know, are you tired of your significant other wearing your watch, even though it looks much cooler on her, but you hate to admit it? Like, that's what this is all about, you know? Like, you know, this is the perfect modern-day Panerai for her. It has everything you both love about Panerai, but it's smaller, more elegant, and less bulky, not to mention the price is right at $6,000. Now, this has you know, a second hand, and it has a date at the 3 o'clock position. It has a manufactured in-house movement, caliber movement, 3-day in-house movement. I like this one definitely, the one with the teal strap and the you know, the gray dial. I like that, the anthracite gray dial. I like that for a woman. I think it looks very feminine. I think it looks very elegant. I think it looks very fashion forward. And I definitely think, you know, a woman could wear also the ivory dial with the blue numbers and blue hands as well, if you want a more casual look. But for that guy who collects vintage, this will be right up your alley, because it's not the bulky 44 millimeter Luminor case that you may feel afraid or uncomfortable wearing. This is definitely a little bit more refined, so it serves both men and women perfectly, I think. And even the one with the teal green strap for a man with anthracite gray dial, I think these are both very sort of gender neutral watches that can be worn by both genders, that could be, you know, feel comfortable and feel, you know, like they have something substantial on their wrist and they're not compromising anything except for the water resistance. Again, these watches are stainless steel and both watches are priced at $6,000. Zenith, you know, one of my favorite brands in the world, they were also at SIHH this year, and they released the Pilot Chronometro Tipo CP2 Flyback in aged steel and bronze. This is kind of like very, very cool stuff. In 2016, they released the Ultimate Vintage Inspired watch in steel with a black dial. It was, you know, a historic piece that was made for, you know, an Italian, sort of came out of an Italian retailer. It was very military. It was made for, I think, the Italian Armed Forces. And that was like, you know, a limited edition and did very well for the brand. This is an extension of the brand, of the brands, of the style of, you know, that style. They kind of extended that a little bit with these new versions. These new versions have open case back, which shows the iconic El Primero movement. I don't know how I feel about that, especially on a tool watch, especially on, you know, a watch that was made, but, you know, originally for the armed forces, military. I don't know, that I would have loved to have seen solid case backs on these watches. I believe the original limited version did have a solid case back and respected the history. And they could have put dates on this watch as well very easily, but they didn't, which is a huge plus. The bronze version has like a, you know, like a bronze dial. And it looks really, really just like military worn and old, yet it looks new because I've never seen these dial configurations before. It's so on the new version, the dials are bronze grained for the bronze version and slate gray grained for the aged steel. So there's one model in aged steel and one model in bronze. The bronze one is my favorite one. It has a, you know, a black bezel, and it has great contrast, and that bronze case just makes it look like it's been through, has a story to tell. This aged steel one, when I look at it, you know, just by my first initial thoughts, it looks nice, but it looks kind of washed out because you have, you know, aged steel case, you have a sort of grayish steel bezel, and you have a grayish steel dial, and you have white, you know, contrasting numbers and hands, but it just kind of looks sparse. I'm told it looks incredible by those who attended SIHH. I'm sure I'll love it when I see it and photograph it, but from the pictures, I'm much more, my eye gravitates much more towards the bronze one. They're both fitted on these oily nubuck straps, which are really, really nice. Again, giving them a lot of character. Brown oily nubuck for the bronze version and green oily nubuck for the aged steel version. Both these watches retail at $7,600, and I can help you get one from an authorized Zenith retailer. Zenith being one of the premier brands who have made the most exceptional chronographs in the world. They're also water resistant to 100 meters, which is rare for a chronograph. Usually you don't see that. Usually that would make the case like just way too thick between the movement and being able to accommodate for the water resistance. But I'm told these fit really nicely on the wrist. They're 43 millimeters in case diameter, which is a great size. And they have a power reserve of 50 meters. The functions are hours, minutes, second, flyback chronograph with 30-minute totalizers. I like that. I like dual register chronographs. Everything is more or less symmetric. So I dig it. I nod to them for that. There was a lot of other stuff that I honestly didn't get to. If I didn't get to it, it means I probably haven't given it much thought, although I will write about that. All the watches that I mentioned on this podcast, you can check out the articles I've written on them and my opinions, my thoughts, but I can definitely help you get any of these watches that we've talked about. I think you'll really like what you have to see. And I know also, like, you know, SIHH is just the, you know, it's just dipping your toe as far as the Richemont group goes with things that they come out with, but it's good. It's not the best SIHH I've ever seen, but it's not bad. I forgot to mention, the last one I'm going to mention is the Vacheron Constantin 56 self-winding collection. They came out this year at SIHH 2018. Great piece. Look, at the end of the day, when I think of Vacheron, I don't think of, oh my God, what a great value, how inexpensive. No, they're a very expensive brand. They're, you know, arguably rivaling Patek Philippe in pricing, quality, craftsmanship, and all that. This is their modern-day take on a man's dress watch. It's a three-handed watch with a calendar, 11.7 in steel, 19,700 in yellow gold. Very different for the brand. When Vacheron does, you know, a watch of a dress watch, it's usually, you know, is inspired by history, and most of the time it is made for that purpose. It's a sort of birth of something they've made in their past, or an extension of something, or whatever. These are totally different. I've never seen these kind of dials for Vacheron before. Very modern looking. The closest I'd say is the Quai de Lille, which is probably their most modern watch. But this watch, in terms of just a three-handed dress watch, simple, understated, classic, but yet modern. You know, they're going for that modern generation. They're going for a hipper, younger crowd with this watch. You know, like in Patek, you can't even get a watch in steel. The last steel watch they made, the 5522A Pilot watch, which was only time, hours and minutes, didn't even have a date. That was like, you know, 21,000 and change. It was super expensive for a Pilot watch. So when you see, you know, a three-handed watch with an in-house movement at 11.7 in steel, for Vacheron, it's not bad at all for the money. And 19.7 for the yellow gold. When you compare it to the steel one, very expensive, $8,000 more. Don't understand why it has to be that much more money. It's certainly not, you know, I don't think the price is justified. But when you look at it in comparison to Patek Philippe, who charges about $25,000 for their three-handed watches with dates in a gold case, it's a bargain, you know? I mean, it's still very expensive, but it's a bargain when you compare it to Patek. The watch is powered by an in-house Vacheron caliber 1326 movement with 48-hour power reserve and can be seen through the case back, which is a nice touch. My only complaint about this watch, besides the pricing of the gold one, is I wish it was bigger. 40 millimeters in case diameter. I wish it was certified a Hallmark de Genève, which is Vacheron Constantin's version of the Patek Geneva seal, which is, you know, an accuracy test. It's much like, you know, a chronometer, super chronometer certification for accuracy by Patek Philippe. That would have been nice, especially at these price points. Even though the steel is reasonable, there's no reason why it couldn't have been tested. But overall, I think it was decent. I mean, again, there were other models that Vacheron made with enamel dials that they're known for doing and being creative with, and those were very well received. And there was an overseas perpetual calendar, I believe, in red gold or pink gold on a blue strap. That was nice, super expensive. I think around 75 to 80 grand on a rubber strap. That's very expensive for a perpetual on a rubber strap, especially in a gold case. You would think it would be a platinum case. But, you know, Vacheron is at the pinnacle of watchmaking, and they definitely, you know, can charge what they charge and have charged what they've charged for many years. But stay tuned for more information. I mean, again, like I said, I can help you order any of these watches, all from authorized retailers. I have incredible relationships with them. I can get you better pricing and no tax depending on where you live. You can definitely email me at amitdevhonda@gmail.com. I do work on a $150 consultation fee. So if you call me or engage me, definitely pay that PayPal. You can pay that fee through PayPal on my website, under the services page, when you scroll down to the bottom where it says PayPal me here. And that gets you an hour of my time, some calls, some emails, and I will guide and advise you. And should you buy a watch from me, I will deduct that $150 fee you paid from the final purchase price of the watch. So it's a win-win situation, and you have everything to gain and nothing to lose. Check me out on social media, on my Instagram and Twitter. My handles for both are @AmitDevHonda. And until we meet again, rock on and fly back.